The Jews have a Christmas feast. Did you know that?
Yeah.
The Jewish feast is the feast of that one there. Now, I'm going to teach you how to pronounce this, dear friends, because... Right? It's not Chanukah, right? It's that one of those funny sounds where you have to go... as if you're going to, you know what I mean. Right, it's the history of Hanukkah. Right, Hanukkah, right. And that's their Feast of Lights. They have one of these special candles where they've got a 7-day feast. They always have long feasts. Do you notice that? 7-day feast where they light up. Well, there's more than 7 days, but there's 9 of that one. But, you know, light them up day after day. Till it's all it took. It's a feast of lights. And the word Hanukkah means... I didn't know until this morning. I said to Jean, she says, have you got something to do? And I said, I'm going to do about Hanukkah. And she said, what does it mean? And I said, I don't know. So I looked it up. It means dedication. Yeah. And it's to do with the dedication of the temple, as you'll see. So we're going to look at how it all started. And there's lessons for us as well, as Christians, because you'll see how the Jews were treated. Christians and people who believe in God in this day and age tend to suffer from the same antipathy, we could say, and hostility that's around. Yeah. So you see, there are links, that's what I'm getting at. So let's begin the story, shall we? Right, so yeah. In 300 BC, that's a long time ago, in 300 BC, when the Greek soldiers came to the Middle East, they brought with them many aspects of their culture. Right, so this is a Greek building. It's a temple, in fact, yes? The Greeks were brilliant architects. You know, really superb with the old chisels and stones and so on, right? So, some good things in their culture. But they came with many aspects of their culture when they came. Because, I don't know if you know, the Babylonians were replaced by the Persians. And then the world power that came in next was the Greeks. And that's around about 300 BC. Macedonia. Technical point. Alexander of Macedonia. You see what I mean? You have to live with these things, don't you? Greek is the general feel of it.
The Greeks sort of came along.
The Greeks came along with building. I know. Right. Okay.
They went with him.
Right. Okay. Right. All right. He spoke Greek, though, didn't he? Yes. That's all right. Then. Next one, please. Right. What they brought with them was art. All the chiselling stuff and all that, yes. Philosophy, all this Greek thinking, you know. Architecture, as we've got there. And the Greek sports. They introduced the Olympic Games, you know.
Yeah.
Right, so that was the sports stat. So they were very muscular in their way of thinking, yeah. Right, next one, please. Right, the new culture that was formed was called Hellenism. Right, the word Hellenos means Greek. Yeah, that's why it's Hellenist, yeah. So it's just Greekism, really, but they call it Hellenism, right? So that was the culture that was around, right? Next slide, please. Right. One of the central themes of Greek culture was that of humanism. We've heard that one before, haven't we?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Man at the centre. Yeah. Human beings, man, the God, ultimately, yes? Right. Humanism is the belief that the humans are at the centre of everything. Right, and I've got a little joke for you there. Then I came to the conclusion that the greatest cause for humanity was me. It's me at the centre, right? Well, that's nothing new there, but the Greeks made an art form of it, right? Okay, so that's what's going on. So, if you think you're the centre of the world, you're a little Greek. Right, okay. Next one, please. Right, this is very different to Judaism, the Jewish beliefs, right? Our Christianity is based on the Jewish beliefs. There's the background for you, Victoria. Right. Theirs was that God is at the centre of everything, right? God is at the centre of all things. Everything exists by him and for him, right? So that's their view, which is a bit different to the Greek view, of course. Next slide, please. Right. The Greeks believed so strongly that their culture was superior to all others that they wanted to impose their lifestyles upon everyone. Because they were the best, right? Any culture that's in charge at the top always thinks they're the best and wants everybody else to be like them. The Brits did that with our empire, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Brits were best, but, I mean, far from that, you know. Yeah, yeah, dangerous, isn't it? Well, it's around today. Humanism thinks it's more civilised, more, you know, clever and up-to-date than you funny people that believe in God and religion. I mean, you know, you're in the Dark Ages. So the new culture is impose their views on you and me. You're not allowed to believe in God, you know. in the public place, they won't let you speak about him, they won't let you talk about him. And that's not, we're not too bad in Britain yet, but there are places in the world, it's getting that way, yeah. So, that's the Greeks, they were like that then, eh? Yeah, they say, we're it, and you better join us. Okay, so that's fine. Next step, please. Many Jews became very attracted to the Greek culture. They even had a group, Jewish Greek council, sort of trying to work things together. It's called the Ecumenical Forum now. Yeah, mix the world with the religion, and everybody's happy. Well, we aren't, but they think they are. Okay, next step, please. Yeah, right. This group was very small, but very vocal and very powerful. How about that? Minorities can cause a lot of problems for a lot of people. We have that in our culture today. We have groups that want to push their agenda and make everybody else conform. In the schools, in society, yeah, it's the PC Brigade. Yeah? They were the PC Brigade of their time, right? So, they became just as Greek as the Greeks, and they began to send their kids to the gymnasium. What was the gymnasium? It's a school, yes? But it was a school where they probably had athletic things as well. But that was the name for it. It's a gymnasium meant school. They sent them to the Greek schools. Yes. They even went through painful surgery so they wouldn't stand out as being Jewish. Well, I won't go into that one, but you know what I mean. Right, okay. Right, so, that's serious, isn't it? That's trying to deny who you are. Right. Okay, next slide, please. In many ways, the main conflict was between mainstream Jews and these Hellenized Jews. It wasn't the Greeks that was the problem. It was the Jewish people that wanted to be Greeks. And do you know, that applies today. We don't have great problems with the world so much as with those who are Christian, so-called, eh? But are full of the world. They want us to join in with them. Eh? Nothing new, is there? So the Jews had that problem. The ones that wanted to follow God's line and those that wanted to follow man's line come into conflict. Right, so next slide, please. Right. At first there was harmony between the Jews and the Greeks, you know, we tolerate each other, sort of thing. Right. But there's always a but, isn't it? Right, next slide, please. But then the Greeks started looking at the bizarre practices of the Jews. They think you're odd, you know. Right? And some of us are probably. And they started thinking of the Jews as a challenge to their world supremacy. Yeah? That's happened. That happened then. It happens to Christians too. Yeah? In the communist era, right, believers in Romania and the likes were persecuted because they were Christians. Happens in China today, happens in other parts of the world. They're persecuted because as believers in God, the state feels threatened because we don't toe their line. Right? We serve some higher authority than them. Not that we're bad citizens, we're meant to be good citizens. Yeah? But they feel threatened when we say there's somebody bigger than they are. The Romans had the problem. They said, Caesar's God. And the Christian says, Jesus is Lord. Conflict again. So the Jews had that then. Yeah, when they say God's God and the Greek gods, no good. Right, well, complication then. Right, next slide, please. And more Greeks became hostile to the Jews. Well, that's around today as well, isn't it? Anti-Semitism? Yeah. Yeah, still happening. Happening even now. Yeah. As we speak. Yeah. Right. Swastikas are one of those things that they plaster all over the place. So, next slide, please. The Greek Empire split into three distinct empires. Yeah? Is that right, William, by the way? Four. I know it was four. But three major ones. One got swallowed up. Yeah, it's all right then. We're okay on this one. Yeah, right. Yeah. The Seleucid, the Ptolemaean, and the Macedonian. So they've got those three empires. And who's pig in the middle? Israel. Yeah, right in the middle. Yeah, where all these empires are. Okay. So next slide, please. At first, the Jews were under the rule of the Ptolemaeans, who were generally liberal and tolerant of other beliefs. Right? So they live and let live, sort of thing. Yeah. That was at first. But there's always a but. Yeah. But then, right, things got much worse when the region was taken over by the Seleucids, whose king was named Antiochus. They had several Antiochuses. This is Antiochus, this is, in Greek, Antiochus Gamma. What's number for Gamma? Alpha, Beta, Gamma. 3. So it's Antiochus III. Right? Antiochus III was a nasty piece of work. And in fact, in Daniel, he was prophesied. It was before he came, but Daniel prophesied about this Antiochus, and he described him ultimately as an antichrist. He was a sort of forerunner of antichrist. Really nasty piece of work.
He looks nasty, no,
doesn't he? He looks nasty. Yeah, well, I picked the right picture there. And yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We've chosen the right picture for that one. Yeah. Okay. Next thing, please. Right. Antiochus came to the conclusion that the weakest link in defence against the Ptolemies was the Jews. Isn't that interesting? You know, whenever there's a political problem, who gets blamed? The Jews got blamed, right? It still happens today, but it's happening in other parts of the world for Christians. In the time of the Roman Empire, when Nero was having financial problems and difficulties, who's to blame? The Jews and the Christians. Right, so, you know, if you believe in God, you're the target. That's the point we're getting at, right? So, the Jews were to blame. It was all the Jews' fault. Is that what the Arabs are still saying, isn't it? Yeah. Always the Jews' fault.
Oh, yeah.
Strange. Jealous. Yeah, there we are. Anyway, carry on. He doesn't look very happy, does he, there? Yeah. He started taking measures to force the Jews to be more like the Greeks. Yeah, well, force them all, make them, get rid of them, yeah? So that's around today. That's not an old image, that's a new image, yeah? Right, okay, next one, please. Right. He replaced the high priest with a Jew he controlled, thus completely corrupting the temple service. So he had a puppet in charge. He could tell them what to do. They do that in China. It's called the Three Self Church. Did you know that? They have a Three Self Church. It's the state church. You know, you're allowed to do things provided the church approves of it. Oh, not the church, the state approves of it. And the state won't approve of many of the things that we want to do. So that's why you've got the underground church.
That communism.
Well, the Chinese states have sort of a mix of all sorts of things. Yeah. But yeah, they put somebody in charge who'll do what he's told. That's what he did with his high priest. That's why they get to the time of Ananias and Caiaphas in Jesus' time. They were puppets, you know, they just please themselves, that sort of thing. He not only did that, he banned the use of the Jewish calendar. They keep different calendar, they had different months and names to the Greeks. Yeah. So he banished the Jewish calendar, knowing full well how the Jews focused on various Jewish holiday cycles. If you get rid of the calendar, you won't know when you're going to have the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, all the other feasts. Stop all the feasts by getting rid of the calendar. Smart, eh? Well, that's what he tried, anyway. Right, next one, please. He prohibited keeping kosher. What's that mean?
Not eating pork,
but other pork as well, but other things that had to be prepared in a certain way, right? So change their diet so that they become like the Greeks, right? And he stopped them studying the Torah. That's their Bible, right? That's always one thing they'll go for. Stop them reading the Bible, because the Bible is where you get the information about God. Ah! Stop that, we fixed them. So that's what he was trying to do. Next slide, please. Yeah. The Greeks burnt Torah scrolls. Well, they've done that before, haven't they?
Yeah.
Get the Christian books, or the Jewish books as it was then. They're still doing that as well. Burn it all up. And they filled the temple with idols and swine sacrifices. What more could he have done to offend them?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Put idols. There was never any idols in the temple. Put idols in and take a few pigs in as well. You know, and sacrifice a few pigs. He did that.
Sure.
Totally desecrated the Jewish religion. Yeah. Okay. Next one, please. He forbade the practice of circumcision, so they won't be Jews' boys anymore. Right? Next one. Yeah. Nevertheless, many Jews passively resisted doing the practices despite the prohibition. What you do is you keep your head down. You just carry on as normal, but keep out of the firing line. That's basically the idea. And a lot of them did that. Yeah. And some of our brothers and sisters have to do that in parts of the world today.
Yeah.
You know? Secret believers in many countries, because if they put their head up, they get shot.
Yeah.
Right, next slide, please. Yeah. Often paying with their or for their resistance with their lives, or some still do, and the Jews are doing that, they were being killed because of their beliefs. Right, next slide, please. Until one day, da da da. Right, here we come. This is goodness. Yeah. Right. Next slide, please. Right. That's not the Greeks marching, by the way, just in case somebody wants to say. The Greeks marched. The Greeks marched into the Jewish town of Modi'im, right? The Greeks marched, the soldiers came into the town of Modi'im. Take over, John. Right. Yeah. Next then, please. And they demanded a volunteer. This sounds just like the Nazis did. Yeah. Right? They demanded a volunteer to sacrifice a pig to a Greek idol. Now, how anti-Jewish can you get than that? Yeah. So that's what they said. Oi, one of you lot, because they rounded up all the Jews, of course. Yeah. One of you lot, come and do it. Right. So, next please. When someone volunteered, there's always somebody who's yellow belly, yeah? When someone volunteered, Mattathiah rose up and killed the volunteer and the Greek general. Yeah? So that stopped that lot, didn't it? And he called his people to rebel in the name of the Lord. Violent reaction, yeah? To a terrible situation. Yeah. Okay, so that's not Mattathiah, by the way. Well, it was close though, wasn't it? Yeah. It's difficult getting the right pictures of these people, you know. They didn't do photographs in those days. Right. Mattathiah with his five sons. Now, these are great names. Yeah. Yochanan, which is John. Yochanan is John, right? Yes. Shimon is Simon, right? Yehuda Hamakabi is Judah, right? Yeah. Elazar, well, that's Elazar, I suppose, yeah. And Jonathan. It's Jonathan, right? So they're Jewish pronunciations of names we have in our English language as well, right? Okay, so those are his five sons, right? Next slide, please. They went to the hills to fight with guerrilla warfare against the Greeks. So they didn't have any great forces or anything else like that. So it was just picking people off, picking the Greek enemies off, right? Okay, that's what they did. They went to guerrilla warfare. Next slide, please. The Greek army was 40,000 strong. Is that correct, by the way? All right, okay, yeah, fine, okay. 40,000, roundabouts, plus or minus, you know. Right. Greek army, 40,000 strong. No one knows exactly how big the Jewish army got, but the biggest estimates are 12,000. Now, I've got all those armed there, and what's this young man got?
Catapult.
Different order of weaponry we're talking about here, right, okay. Next slide, please. Right. Not to mention that the Greeks were trained soldiers with proper fighting equipment. So they've got all the tackle, all the hardware, and everything else. Right, next slide, please. Right. And they've got elephants. Is that right? Apparently, yes. And those, yes, they had elephants, yes. Put the fear of God into anybody, those things coming at you, wouldn't they? Right. So that's what they were fighting, the Greeks. They had all the power. Right, next slide, please. Right. The war would last a total of 25 years. That's sort of a war of attrition, they call it, yeah? With many casualties on both sides, yeah? That's what happened. That's what happened in Afghanistan with the Russians, of course. They thought they'd take over and had all the military power, and the Afghanistanis, how many could you call them Afghanistanis? Yeah. Keep picking away, picking away. Yeah. Afghans, yes, that's the right word. Well, they did the same, right? Just keep chipping away. Right. Next slide, please. 3 years into the war, the Jews successfully conquered Jerusalem. How about that? They got Jerusalem back 3 years into the war, so they're making progress. You know what that picture is of, by the way, do you? It's in 1967. Well, this is the Israeli army when they finally got to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem.
That was a 7-day war thing.
That was a 7-day thing. 6-day, well, yes, 6-day. Yeah. 7th day, they had a rest. Right, yeah. Okay, so they got back then. Right. When they got to the temple, which is in Jerusalem, when they got to the temple, they found that the temple was defiled with idols and swine, as we'd said. That's what they've been doing. So it was a total mess, right? Disgusting. It was an unclean sight. What was meant to be the holiest of places had become totally unclean. Right, next slide, please. They searched 164 BC, we've got to now, right? They searched and only found one flask of pure olive oil to light the menorah in the temple. They had that special lampstand, the candlestick thing, yeah? And they put little pots with a wick in it, a little lights, yeah? And they'd only got one flask of oil that had been separated, set apart, prayed for, and asked God's blessing on, to light the temple lights, yeah? Right, next slide, please. So, it was enough oil to last for one day. Right? Miraculously, it lasted for 8, which gave them enough time to produce some more. How about that? We've heard of that sort of miracle before. Remember Elijah with the widow and the oil? Yeah. It just kept coming until it was time for the famine to be over. Well, this was a miracle. This was really God's confirmation they were onto the right thing. So, they had enough. like the oil, eh? Good, eh? Right. Who's he, by the way? I have no idea.
George Foreman.
George Foreman. Well, good old George. There we are. He's got the oil. Right then, next then, please. Yeah, right. They all turn up in this story, you know. So, when they had this amazing miracle happen, it was at the dedication of the temple. That's where Hanukkah comes from, right? And it's called the Feast of Lights because of the lights were made day. So the temple was rededicated on the 25th of Kislev. That was a Jewish month, round about December time, yeah? Right? That time has since been celebrated for 8 days every year as the Feast of Hanukkah, right? Okay, so that's where the feast comes from, and that's why they do what they do. Right? So there's a little lad lighting the candles, as you can see. Right, next slide, please. And this is to celebrate the two miracles of Hanukkah, victory over the Greeks, right, and the miracle of the oil. Right, so, something to celebrate. Yeah. Next slide, please. That's definitely light. There we are, yes. Nice. Each night of Hanukkah, the menorah is lit. Go on through the week, yeah, until you've got all 8 minutes, yeah? Right. Each night of Hanukkah, the menorah is lit. The menorah is the candlestick, by the way, yeah? Yeah. Okay. The menorah symbolizes the burning light in the temple, as well as marking the 8 days of the Hanukkah festival. So that's what they do. Right, next slide, please. See if this works, yes. There are many different spellings of the word Hanukkah, right? And I've got a few of them there for you. Right?
You got
everything there. Right, okay. One of the problems is because that first letter is not a normal letter in other languages. It's Hanukkah. Okay, right. Next slide, please. Right. Present day Hanukkah. What do they do now? Well, we've got some things I'm going to show you in a moment. Next slide, please. Right. Hey, that was flashy, wasn't it? Right, yeah. December the 17th to the 24th. Children play a game with a spinning top called a dreidel. Or dreidel. But dreidel is how it's written like that, yeah? Right. Families eat special oily food to remind them of the importance of the oil lamp. All very good for your cholesterol, of course. Yeah? And presents are also given at this time. It sounds a bit like something else, doesn't it? Yeah. Right. See, they weren't to be outdone, you know. That's clever. Right, okay. So we'll look at some of those in detail now then, please. Next, please. Right, the dreidel. It's a four-sided spinning top. They play games with it, I guess, yeah? Each side is engraved with a different Hebrew letter. N, G, H, and S. Obviously, in Hebrew, as you can see on the thing itself, right? And the letters mean Nes Gadol Hayah Sham. Right, which in Hebrew means a miracle, a great, there was, there. Those are the four words. So, a great miracle happened there. Yeah? So, that's what they use. They're playing their game. Remind them of what God did. Right. Then next slide, please. This is the food bit. Always go for the food bit, you notice? Right? Yeah? Many traditional Hanukkah foods are cooked in oil, in remembrance of the oil that burned in the temple. How do you pronounce this, G?
Latkes.
Latkes, or potato pancakes, are a favourite food at Hanukkah. So if you want to know what they're like, ask Jean to knock some up for you. They're nice. They're nice. Yes. Fancy that though. Food again. Yeah. Right. Okay. So you've got to have a lunch. A nice meal. Celebrate. Good things. Yeah. Next slide, please. Right. Then came the festival. This is the last bit I've got to quote to you. Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. Did you know that? Because he was Jewish. Yeah. And he went to Jerusalem to celebrate Hanukkah. Right. And so we have in John's Gospel a reference to that. It says, then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. Hanukkah. It was winter. Well, that's why, because it's in December time, yeah? It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. So, Jesus has come to Jerusalem, and they say, hey, are you really the Messiah? And do you know what Jesus says? I think that's the last one. Can you just check it? Oh, no, that, yeah. Jesus says this back to them. He spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and have the light of life. Saying, you're celebrating the Feast of Lights. I'll tell you, the one who gives light in its fullness is me. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. You can't make it more plain than that, can you? He's claiming to be the light that gives people grace, forgiveness and love. That's Jesus. He is, like in so many of the feasts of Israel, Jesus is the fulfillment. What it's all pointing at ultimately. He is the light of the world. Well, question, he may be the light of the world, is he the light of your life? That's the question, isn't it, really? You know, I sometimes hear these, in these services, at, you know, the Anglican services, sort of funeral services, you know, that Jesus is the saviour of the world, and therefore, good old so-and-so has got to go to heaven.
Yes.
Don't work that way. Jesus is the saviour of the world, but he's only your saviour when you invite him into your life. That's how it works, yeah? He can and has potential to save anybody and everybody. That's what it means. Yeah? But he only saves those that come to him. Yeah? He says, those that come to me, I won't cast out. So you've got a warm welcome and a guarantee of reception. Because he is the light of the world. Amen. I think that's it. Is it? That, yes, it is. Put one more in. Ta-da! There you go. Thank you.
Bless
you. Okay, so let's just pray. Thank the Lord. Yeah, Lord, as many will be, the Jewish people will be celebrating Hanukkah coming up fairly shortly, Lord. We pray it will be a peaceful time. It's meant to be a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving and deliverance from their enemies, for rejoicing in the miracle that you did in giving the light to the temple, Lord, that the worship could go on and continue. Lord Jesus, thank you fulfill this in such a wonderful way for us. Lord, we pray you bless us at this time as we remember the wonderful things that you've done on our behalf. Lord, you poured oil into our spirits, given us the light of life, anointed us with your Holy Spirit, that we can shine in the dark and sad world. Lord, bless us and use us, and thank you for your great love. We pray, Lord, your blessing on all who celebrate what you have done this time of year, in Jesus' name.